Ray, how are you doing?
Hi, thank you for having me. Thank you.
What made you start or come up with the idea of the Good Fortune Show?
Well, I really value the concepts of helping individuals that may or may not have had certain opportunities to essentially transcend from any sort of self-limitation, the aspect and notion of self-doubt, which pervades throughout our world and which causes a great contribution to the culmination of negative energy in the world with individuals' precepts towards their own interpretations of what they can achieve with success. And I wanted to really help anyone that I can to help raise their own individual vibrations, and therefore that will also interject into the vibrations into society, our culture, the world, and so forth.
And then this Good Fortune Show is kind of connected to the Joyful Manifestation Show, which plays every other Friday from your show. Both are about high vibrations. And Ray, what made you become so good at good fortune? Is it something that you practiced as a child and you grew up with it? And it's a way of thinking that you're able to easily do?
That's a very good question. I can reflect back upon my childhood, and I do believe, of course, in your formative years, where each individual learns inherent learned behavior, learned helplessness, and also the fantastical notions and applications, and also in such a way, the illusions of the self, illusions of the mind, illusions of the spirit as a wholesome with the mind, body, spirit. And I believe, from the best of my recollection, it is something that from a very, very early age, I truly strived to be an observer and I witness happiness around and within the world and through animals, through nature, through fellow human beings. And it always prompted this inspiration within me. And even if it wasn't such a positive observation, I always try to look into the scope and the lens of how that can be rectified, how that can be resolved, what can be applied, what is intrinsically within all of us that we can actually strive and aspire for each and every one of ourselves to just be our best, even when we don't feel our best. And I've just been a very hopeful person my entire life, despite whatever I've seen or not seen. And there's a lot of life left to live. I'm a student of God and the universe, and I truly just have a passion for enhancing anyone's life that I can possibly help assist themselves in finding and applying and co-partnering with God, Buddha, their higher consciousness, whatever their belief system may be. That's truly what my sincere internal, let's say, perhaps a cosmic mission, a cosmic assignment, a divinely ordained assignment. That's the best way that I can describe that desire into what has prompted me to be so impassioned with the hopes of helping even the most, let's say, disparaging moment in one's life. I would love to step in and try to fill in the light where the void may be. And that's always the start. And then, of course, exponentially, eyewitnessing the abundance on galactic levels and just really the beautiful, benefic alignment of what God, the Holy Spirit, the universe, the cosmic consciousness, the divine consciousness, and the divine supply, what can materialize for each and every one of us here on Earth.
Ray, what would you say is the main difference between being a student of mankind, a human teacher, and a student of God?
That's a beautiful question. Thank you for that. What I would say in my interpretation would be the differentiation between a student of man would be essentially that could apply with the anthropic, the besides the there's the anthropocentrism, which truly is the effects, the environmental actions of humans only. And then we have the biocentrism, which considers the effects of truly actions upon all living things. And then there is the, I would say, the divine alignment and a genetic predisposition. So with the human self, with a student of man, in that anthropic element, that is where we have the human condition and the personality, the positive effects, and also the characteristic flaws and defects in which one strives to perfect and to improve upon. And in the human mind, body, spirit, student of man, that application has a great deal of the ego and the ego conscious state, the negative fear separative ego, the false ego, so many components, and the subconscious, the conscious self. Yet when we look at being a student of God, that is truly where everything is more cohesive, where you combine, it's a coordinated effort to essentially reinstate the spiritual being that is within the physical shell, the physical conduit, the physical vessel of being an anatomical, physical human with the interstitial fluid, the blood, the lungs, the organs, and also the cellular memory in the DNA component. And in that cellular memory, where perhaps morphic resonance can exist, biocentrism can exist. Of course, there are themes, the hypotheses about various subjects that are pertaining to that. And in that genetic memory, being a student of man, we have these inherent learned behaviors, correct? And then learned helplessness. And these can also attribute and coincide with the limitation beliefs and also the unlimited beliefs. But yet, when you are a student of God, a higher power, Christ consciousness, Buddha consciousness, however which one would like to ascribe and believe for themselves, that is when you apply the beautiful mystical body of God, the beautiful mystical consciousness, the beautiful transcendental abundance of the cosmic Christ consciousness in which all of us are wired for, is just marrying the two together where the composite exists in that way. And essentially, to expand on being a child of God, a student of God, as opposed to a student of man, one thing that is extremely imperative with being a student of God is essentially that we are all creations and emanations of God. We are representatives of God. Yet, what does the kingdom mean to each and every one of us? And it may be maybe perhaps easy or not easy for one to truly understand what the kingdom of heaven is within you and what that truly means. And so at times when it's not understandable into the ego mind, which is the student of man, the interpretation is that it is something that is outside versus what's inside, within. Yet the word within at times can be unnecessary when you are a student of God, because God is all-knowing with the abundant supply because he is the richest father of all. He is the ruler of the kingdom and therefore created you to be your master, to be myself as a master of my universe. So in all of these creations in which the Holy Spirit radiates to truly banish any darkness and negativity, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of that celestial realm, breaks through all impossibilities, because through God, everything is possible. And through ourselves, when we apply that student of God principle, the cosmic principles, anything is truly possible. It's vigilance, truly. So to behold vigilance and to be in that certainty that God provides to you, God provides to me, God provides to those that are in the holy instant of necessity, and even into the sea creature, in the ocean, into the land creature, the sky creature, to every single being on this earth, there is the natural divine order of supply and demand. And so that is essentially a paraphrase, so to speak, of what I can describe as far as the dichotomy between a student of man and a student of God, yet also with the human condition, observation, analysis, and also the strive to eyewitness and to coordinate a conscious effort to enliven. Because if we look upon our fellow human beings upon earth and our fellow sentient beings on earth, and we co-partner, then my goodness, this world essentially becomes a truly, truly prosperous place, and that any aspects of any darkness can be illuminated, and breaking through, shattering the illusion of the self-infliction of doubt, where we no longer have to bear such crosses, where the cross has been bared for us to all have this finite time, this beautiful time upon this earth to be abundant and to be successful and to have every tangible and spiritual quality of this experience that is so just stupendously vast, of the potentials of so many beautiful possibilities. And that is when we merge the student of man and the student of God, and then we are essentially the masters of ourselves, in which the Heavenly Father God intended to create us to be an emanation, a representation. Like when Michelangelo said, "I saw the angel in the marble and I carved to set it free." We are all essentially that beautiful divine perfection that has the great potential, the vast awareness, and everything before us that we can create with our hands, with our minds, with our spirits, with our application of right thought action into inventing something amazing, into writing something amazing, into building and growing things, and also mending people and resurrecting one's interpretation of what good fortune truly encompasses, and resurrecting even in that minuscule way that eventually and purportedly can maximize into that full actualization of monumental existence in everything around you and about you, where God prospers you and everything and everyone around you.
Pray, you know, being a student of man and being a student of God, I did see one thing. I was driving towards Las Vegas and I was trying to hear the windscreen. So I turned on the water and the windscreen wiper, and it should have spurted out water and wiped it, right? But there was no water coming out. So I said, "Oh my God, there's no water. We should have water in the car, but there's no water coming out to clear the windscreen." And in that second, it started raining. It's a hot Las Vegas day, we're going through the mountains, right? Very hot climate. And it started raining in that second. And it was almost like the water is pouring. It is actually the water pouring from the heavens, clearing my windscreen. So here is my wiper now working very efficiently. In that moment, I was not thinking of, oh, maybe it was supposed to rain at this moment, or the weather people already knew it was going to rain. But what happened is I thought about, oh, this is Thunder God opening up the water so that my windscreen can be clear because I really needed to clear it and I have no water washer liquid, fluid. So is this something that you can relate or say is being a student of God vis-a-vis being a student of man? Because being a student of man, you're going to be studying the weather conditions. Being a student of God, I thought of it as a gift from God at that moment. What do you think? What's your opinion?
I absolutely concur with you. And in those instances in which you are in the middle of a hot desert and suddenly you need water to emit from your windshield wipers, and in that moment, the power, the manifestation abilities within your mind, of your mind, from what God has imparted within you. That's concurrent with the student of man, with the student of God, being the master of your universe, you see. That's a supreme example of the right thought action and that faith in the supply of the Heavenly Father, the Thunder God, to provide in that precise, exact, detailed moment where perhaps there is no indication in the student of man indication of the weather that there was a monsoon season or that there was a weather indicator of a sudden shower of rain. That is an exact emanation and an eyewitness account of thought, action, and true faith in the certainty that God is for you, the Thunder God is for you, in which nature, spirit, the universe, in that beautiful synchronistic moment, applied through the Holy Spirit, through the gods, through the power of transcending through the limitation of the student of man in the precepts of the mind, in which we have established tenets of data, correct? Data analysis and so forth. Yet when we apply the left and the right brain hemispheres, we can see that all is not as it appears, that there's more beyond just what is in the 3D dimension. And we transcend the 3D dimension when you apply, such as you did in that exact moment in which the Thunder God supplied that beautiful heavenly dispelling of rain at the most perfect, precise time. And not only is that an example of the holy instance, that is also an example of the divine supply, in which applies with the human condition, which we are human, yes, but we are also having a spiritual experience. And a quote from Jesus had said that to be in this world, but not of it. And we are in this world, yet when we tap into that divine certainty that we are deserving of being nurtured, we are deserving of receiving the holy instance of that beautiful experience of having the rain just fall down upon you from the heavens. The good fortune fell down upon you in that moment because of your unwavering trust in the divine, in yourself, and that you have that certainty with God of the trust that all will be taken care of no matter what, no matter how, as long as I'm showing up. And that is the application of right thought, action with faith, and the certainty that it is of God through God. And you are loved by God, you are loved by the universe, you are loved by the cosmic capacity of the divine potential. So that is where the student of man and the student of God is essentially concurrent with one another, where it can literally resonate with each other and be a partnership of the mind and the heart with the spirit. And then the ego aspects that we all incur, positive ego and not so positive ego, yet that transcends the place within that declares, well, that's impossible. There is no such thing as rain expected or anticipated. But aha, that is the epiphany moment of the divine that speaks so clearly, that shows itself so beautifully and so divinely, that in that action, in that result of that action, in that karmic action, that is essentially the result of the emanation of proof that such good fortune exists.
So Ray, in that moment, what I noticed was there was no water coming out for the windscreen to do an effective job on my windshield. In that moment, I just said, oh, we need water. We need water. And trust me, in that second, it started to rain. And it rained just enough, just enough. But the thing is, I did not think of anything else when I said it aloud. We need water, we need water, and it started to rain. There was not a long thought process of thinking, is God going to supply? Will rain come in Las Vegas in this really hot desert atmosphere? I was not thinking. It was just me saying, we need water, we need water, and it started to rain. It happened as if all you had to do was ask and you receive. There's no long thought process in between. A lot of people who think a lot in between are actually stopping themselves or blocking themselves from getting good fortune, because there's a lot of thinking that happens in between, rather than you just saying, oh, I want this, and it happens. What do you think, Ray?
Absolutely. I 100% agree with you. And your question is perfectly fashioned towards what I had mentioned about the holy instance, in which in that exact moment of that right thought action and that magnetism, in which you are conditioned in that trust within yourself, the trust within the divine, where so the student of man and the student of God, that collaboration and that coordinated effort that has become extremely natural for you, which is so beautiful and so fortunate, of course, yet because of that, that's exactly what is inherent within yourself. It is an intrinsic aspect of what you naturally emanate because of the way that you have truly built up your spiritual vessel. You are a spiritual conduit. You have mastered yourself. And one can say, oh, well, no one truly masters themselves. Well, that's left to interpretation, because we can master ourselves and continue to want to increase the mastery of ourselves, then that's fine. Yet in that exact holy instant of moment, in that immediate divine supply, in which you just said, I want rain. And within a snap of a finger, with the twitch of your nose, with not even pulling out the magic scepter wand of the throne, it arrived, it appeared. And that's because you are in a perpetual resonation by God, through God, with God, the divine creator of all that is beautiful and wonderful. And you have that inherent trust in God, the creator, in which all you must do now is just to speak of it and ask for it without laborious thoughts in between. And this is not to say that not every one of us can achieve, or that all of us have to just say, let's snap our fingers and wish for rain. Yet there's the developmental aspect in which each of us can strive for and to become increasingly more magnetic. And in that quantum resonance of where you are inherently wired and inherently coded, inherently divined in that way of that alignment, in that synchronicity, because truly when you do emanate on a higher vibration, the law of ask and ye shall receive, quoting Abraham, when you ask and ye shall receive, and then therefore it happens within a nanosecond. That is one of the most beautiful, miraculous moments when the effort has not had to have been applied so laboriously. Yet it is one of those factors in which the human mind, the student of man, has to exemplify a tremendous amount of analysis and doubt. And I understand that. That's what scholars must do to make a hypothesis. We must go through, and then we can make a diagnosis, and therefore we can equal the prognosis as well, correct? Yet when we speak of the ongoings of the student of God and the student of the divine supply, in which that immediate holy instance occurs, that is the high vibration, the emanation of that high vibration in total, complete action. And so therefore, that's a beautiful example for everyone to hear for themselves and to contemplate that and to literally let themselves know that for themselves, if something were to be required or something of necessity in that exact moment, that can happen. That can absolutely happen. I've seen it in my own life. I've seen it for others. And when it happens, it still behooves oneself in ways. And it's a qualification to ourselves that we are not just a student of man. We are a student of man. Yes, we are also a student of God. Therefore, we are a student of the universe. And then we are the masters of ourselves. That is our ultimate goal and mission.
Ray, what would you say to somebody suggesting, after listening to me talking about windshield fluid and me saying, we need water, we need water, and it started to rain in that moment? There are going to be people who would say, oh, you think God is just waiting to clean your windshield? He's got more important things to do in the world. There are countries that don't have water. There are people starving, et cetera, all the negative words. And what would you say to them? Why would God give, first of all, we're assuming that we're talking within the realm of asking and universe gives, right? So we're talking in that realm. Let's assume that the whole thing is in the realm of us asking and God giving. But what would you say to somebody who says, don't you think God has more important things to do? He doesn't even provide food and water to people, millions of people around the world, and yet here you are, you're just asking for your windshield to be clean, and he's coming in pouring water for you to clean your windshield. What would you say to those people who would bring such a point up? Is water cleaning a windshield less important, or what is it that happens over here?
Well, I'll be happy to answer that. And of course, there is a vast dichotomy between the significance and the importance of a windshield wiper that needs water and rain, as opposed to the people that are in peril in many regions throughout the world that is increasingly becoming more so a commonplace travesty. And so the one huge component that I must bring up that is highly imperative is that God gives us all free will. And because God is a very liberating God and a very freedom-inducing God, at times there are people in the world, unfortunately, in our very own country, in our very own town, and any place you can look where there is the travesty and the tragic ways of the flaws of man, in which the free will of individuals that are in governance of what happens to the people that are, let's say, quote unquote, beneath their umbrella of, let's say, quote unquote, protection and the governance. And in those ways, those people who are in suffrage and those people that are in depravity are essentially experiencing that and those altercations and those transgressions of a system that has been perpetuated by the free will of a sum of individuals that could have done something to help and assist in that moment. Yet it is actually a very unfortunate result of that the vibrations have been so suppressed, literally almost as if in quicksand, by the degradation and the ruin that has been falsely installed into the minds and the hearts and the spirits of these unfortunate individuals. Yet, amongst those individuals, there are still so many that reside in the emanation of the angelic host of hopefulness and the angelic host of optimism and the angelic host of survival. And in those ways, in their own faith, whichever dogma, whichever culture, even if it is in a non-belief system or multitude of belief systems, you notice within the tribes when they pray for rain, the indigenous people that have survived through hellions of storms and hellions of wreckage, and their harvest and their crops have become in ruin, and they have had drought and they have had famine and they've had starvation, yet they still prosper, they still continue because of their faith and their belief that their God would supply to them. And they chant for rain, their prayers for rain, and they pray for a abundant harvest, an abundant crop. They pray for the pestilence to leave. In the ancient Egyptian times, Sekhmet was the goddess and still remains the goddess of anti-famine and anti-war and the mothership of all innocent children and all innocent beings to help prevent them from suffrage. And the ancient Egyptians believed so much so and had so much confidence and faith in the fact that God would supply. The sun god Ra would supply. And so many, many actions historically through time, of course, have unfortunately occurred. Yet in this exact moment where someone could easily say, well, Ray Ray and Sugandhi, why would God waste his precious time and his supernatural abilities to give Sugandhi water for her windshield in the middle of the desert on a hot day when there is a defect in the windshield and the water was not there? So therefore God supplied her water and not someone that is in a unfortunate situation in this world or a town or a group or a village and a city or a state or a being or an individual isolated from water and any other form of nurturing aspects. Well, that actually is truly because God actually does not look at one different than another. Yet it is the application of the free will and the control. When we have free will and we surrender that free will and we treat everything and everyone within the construct of being a contributing member to society, right? And being responsible, taking accountability, But we do not take ownership over individuals. We do not hold water from an individual. We do not refrain from giving someone water. God does his very best to help and intercede, and his best is the greatest. And so, therefore, there are countless stories of people who literally were praying for rain, praying for water, praying for loaves of bread, praying for their greeneries to be protected. And in those moments, like when Moses had the staff and he was told to part the waters and show up and speak to the Pharaoh, in those moments, he literally had a moment of doubt, and he did it twice with the rod. And that rod was the emanation of having that faith, and suddenly the waters parted, and we have a miracle. And yes, some may say, well, that's just a biblical, you know, testament story, whatnot. But in this modern day life, there are many that still encounter, as long as the free will is applied, and if they're not under the governance of a sum of individuals that are basically trying to be bewilder and to control and dominate certain people, then that is when God does his best to intercede in different ways. And so God looks upon you the same way that he would look upon the queen of Egypt. God looks upon you the same way he would look upon a amazing inventor, someone who's grown a harvest of beautiful, abundant fruits and vegetables and grains to feed everyone on this earth. And so there's a time and a cause for everything. And when we apply free will, that is the exact response to the answer in which people who may have a discredit towards, and also within their own self-limiting belief system, and I'm not being condescending towards anyone's thought process. Each individual has a right to their thoughts, and I respect their opinions, and I respect their thoughts, and that's all part of having intelligent conversation. This is not a debate. This is a intellectual conversation and a spiritual introspection into how the laws of abundance apply to each and every one of us, wherever we are in the world and whatever situation we're in. And there are people who literally have left various places with nothing in their pocket, nothing. They faced inflation. They faced, such as in Zimbabwe, where they lost everything, and somehow they had the will. They had everything lined up spiritually. Everything just lined up spiritually, no matter what occurred to them up until that very point in which they were able to evade the territory and evade the starvation, evade the drought. And they were propelled, and somehow now they're beautiful, amazing, very abundant authors, speakers, just you name it. And these people exist in the world, and there's just a time and a place. And if people can truly have that confidence of the God within them and chant for rain, pray for rain. I'm only using rain as an example right now, but we're still here. We are still here. You and I and everyone that lives right now is here alive and well and breathing, no matter what their physical circumstance may or may not be, no matter what up until this moment their abundance and their financial circumstance may or may not be. We are all meant to be here for an exact, precise moment in our karmic time, in the karmic realm. We are here because our ancestors survived, and we are a semblance, we are a representative and an agent of that to continue forth. And so if that's not God, I don't know what God could be. We can apply evolution, we can apply the genetic memory of continuing forth and onward, and the supply of the divine is intrinsic within all of this. Because if our ancestors, no matter where we are from, no matter who we are today, we are here because they survived and existed, whatever they faced. And so whatever they faced and whatever they amounted to, which was clearly abundance, because we're here, we are living and breathing today because of their good fortune. They all had good fortune for us to exist today. And so now we are carrying the torch with the being the student of God and being a student of man, and also being the vessels, the conduits of that we can pray for rain. And that belief in the action and the reaction results in the instant manifestation, in that holy instant where it will come. And those that have faith in the possibilities, nothing is impossible. That is the declaration. And everything is possible through the eyes of God.
Marie, how would you explain this, for example, in America, when they talk about the problems of America? But the fact that their ancestors arrived upon the shores of America at some point many, many years ago and survived.
Yes.
And made magic happen, literally.
Yes.
They must have had some really amazingly strong belief system. So should people look back at the fact that America wasn't even what it is today and remember that their ancestors made something out of almost nothing? And we're not talking of right and wrong over here. We're just talking of manifestation and
correct
good fortune. We're not talking right and wrong, who did wrong, who did right. We're not going into that. So then should people look back and think about, oh my God, then I can still make America great. What do you think?
Absolutely. And I have much to say on the topic. I have much to say. And where I'd like to preface with that beautiful question is that I agree with you. I concur about this is not being about right and wrong. This is about the manifestation element and how you and I and all of us here exist here on this earth because someone before us brought us here with God's assistance. And the universal karmic realm of our assignments, our soul contracts to be here. And our forefathers of the United States of America, God bless the United States of America. In God we trust. The spirit of 1776. And let liberty ring, let liberty be free. And the things that occurred in between up until this very moment. And astrologically, we actually had an orbit in which we had not had this retrograde since 1776 itself, and that actually occurred last February, in which our country, our beloved country, literally has been going through its resurrection moment itself. But each and every one of us here, each and every one of us that has been visited here, that has lived here temporarily or long term, or born here or not born here, it has been the land of opportunity. And that good fortune has been the karma of the emanations of our forefathers, because our forefathers were not necessarily, let's say, normal. They had tremendous faith in God, tremendous, astounding, extraordinary, unwavering faith in God, that God would bless us as long as we honored and revered God, that we would be a country that could operate from that this is the shining decree of just the independence, the emanation of that we are sovereign individuals through God. and that through the sovereignty of God, we can exist and to flourish. And precisely within the Articles of Independence and the Constitution, the way that everything has been created, these were master enlightened, ascended masters, our forefathers. And I can, you know, there's other countries, of course, I'm not just saying it's limited to America, yet America with all the regions, my country, tis of thee, sweet land of liberty, of thee I see, God bless America, from sea to shining sea. We're in a very uniquely, karmically, the longitude, latitude of our land. We have such a vast, beautiful, diverse culture, climate. We have the oceans and the seasons, and we have the rocky terrain. We have the oceanic terrain. We have an abundance of everything, and anyone who applies can make themselves great, can prosper to become great, and find their individual success. And this is an amazing vision of our forefathers. And I, from what I know and what I've experienced, I cannot say that our forefathers were just simple-minded people. And I'm not discrediting anyone who may classify themselves as a simple-minded person. I can be simple-minded. I find people at times to be, okay, great, in the simplicity of things, right? Yet what I mean by that they were not just simple-minded people, what I express by that, what I like to convey, is that through the third dimension, the concepts, the precepts of the mind, in which the emanation, the foresight, that intrinsic capacity, that there's more than enough. There's an abundance out there. The possibilities are endless and vast. And that is why so much detail was placed and so much beauty and the precise nature of the culmination of the gift to us, that we can be a great country and we can be a loving country. We can help other countries. We can give freedom and we can represent freedom. And we are under God, by God, through God. And through that, we cannot be failed. Yet there has to be reciprocation, though. And back to them not being just simple-minded individuals. They've transcended. They transcended the third dimension. They were operating from a higher, higher, higher realm of just stupendous frequency and just that Christ consciousness. When they walked upon the earth, one could say that they emanated a certain type of aura, perhaps, that in their speech, in their format, the way that they would formulate aspects that apply to this very day, as if they had the beautiful opaline crystal to see into the future. They had those gifts. They had that ability. And the things that occurred in between are, that is up for different discourse at a different time. Yet the good karma, the good fortune, whenever there's a balance, and then there's also the forces that are in the opposite of the free will that like to obstruct. And so when we keep operating in the positive spectrum, in which we are all benefic of the good fortune, karma, all of us that exist today, all of us, in one way or another, we just have to call upon our higher divine protector, no matter what. And then we can achieve and we can receive. And our forefathers were extremely diligent in their tenacity, in their vigilance to create such wonderment and to really honor the principles and to have, in a sense, as if in the Ten Commandments, even if one is not, you know, I'm not being religious here, I'm speaking in spiritual terms historically, but in the Ten Commandments, such as division and the breakup of that.
We are at the end of the show, the Good Fortune Show with Ray Trujillo, and we will meet again in a couple of weeks' time, 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So do tune into Good Fortune. You are literally tuning into Good Fortune when you tune into this show and when you tune into the Joyful Manifestation Show, which happens every other Friday from the Good Fortune Show at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. So until then, we want to wish you a wonderful week ahead. And please do tune in to the Joyful Manifestation Show and the Good Fortune Show regularly at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time and bring good fortune to you. Thank you and have a wonderful rest of the day. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you so much.
Manifestation is being broadcast live on iHeart, iTunes, and many, many other stations.